in a dark world filled with deceit. One united voice is crying out. Revealing the truth of God's word. It's time to expose the hidden truth. And unravel the lies. While we're living in Satan's little season. With Sister Crystal and Brother Phil.
Welcome to Living in Satan's Little Season Show. We're your hosts.
Sister Crystal.
Brother Phil. The topic today, 1,000 years. Is it really that long? Well, today we're going to go over the topic of the 1,000 years that, you know, of course, Revelation chapter 20 talks about. And go into, is that really going to be the 1,000 years? Because there's a lot of end times eschatology groups that want to downplay this 1,000-year reign of Christ and make it either way less or way more. And we're going to go into, you know, how they describe or what they use to say, oh, 1,000 years is used all over the place to not really mean 1,000 years. It just means it just means a long period of time or a period of time. And it's no exact amount of time. And so this is kind of how it's going on. But as a review, we're going to read Revelation chapter 20. And, of course, it's mentioned there about five times. Right. The 1,000-year reign of Christ. We're going to start with Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. First time it's mentioned. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and put a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years... we're finished, so second time use, right? After these things, he must be released a little while, or for a little season,
right?
Short season. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them. Judgment was committed to them, and I saw the souls of them who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, who had not received the mark on their forehead and their hands. And they lived and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Again, here's the third time it's used. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who takes part in the first resurrection. Such the second death has no power, for they shall be priests of God and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Again, I mentioned again. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. Okay, so, you know, of course, then it goes on to talk about what Satan does. But again, here's all the times this 1,000 years is mentioned. And essentially that the 1,000 years, if you just understand what's going on, it's the time that the saints are reigning with Christ.
Right.
Okay, it's, in other words, it's not that Christ isn't still reigning after that 1,000 years. It's not that. It's just that it's a time that Satan is bound, and the saints are reigning with Christ for that 1,000 years. Okay? It's not like after the 1,000 years is up, Christ is no longer reigning anymore. He's no longer King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No, no. He still is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's just that the 1,000 years is when Satan was bound, as you can read in that scripture, and when the saints are reigning with him for the 1,000 years. That's what the 1,000 years is all about. And, of course, after the 1,000 years is up, that's when Satan gets unbound and goes out to deceive the nations. But Christ is still reigning. And so I think that the saints and what their purpose was to reign with Christ for that 1,000 years. And after that 1,000 years were up, Satan's not needing the services of these saints anymore. Because now he wants people, he's got his own saints. That's us. And we're the ones that are supposed to be doing God's will. He doesn't need them anymore, so they're going to get their reward in New Jerusalem. And so, you know, they went into, I guess you could say, retirement. And so our job now is to pick up where they left off as priests of God and of Christ. And that's essentially what the Bible does state. We are God's priests. I'm just trying to get you to understand this. Now, a lot of people say that's 1,000 years, even though it's mentioned here five times, isn't a real 1,000 years. And we're going to go into the scriptures here because they say, first thing is that hyperbole is used. Well, there are times in the Bible hyperbole is actually used. And we're going to go into those places that we know for a fact hyperbole is used because it all has to do with context. And in the very next verse of Revelation chapter 20, verse 8, is one such example where hyperbole is used in our Bibles. So why don't you go ahead and read that one, Revelation 20, verse 8. And you can either read it for us, and then we'll go over where hyperbole is used here.
Okay, 27. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the seashore.
Okay, so you see, you know, when they use the word as the sand of the seashore, well, you know, people have always said, oh, well, you know how many sands of the seashore there are. There would be trillions of people on. No, see, it's as. So, in other words, like you can't count the sands of the seashore because there's so many of them. That's how big this army was.
Right.
So that's why, one of the hints that you get when the Bible is actually using hyperbole is it'll use this word as many places in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And so that you understand this to be an obvious exaggeration, but it's to get the point across. We're going to read a few other places here. This is mentioned here. Let's go back and read Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. Go ahead and read that one.
For God knew that in whatever day you should eat of it, your eyes would be opened and you would be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Okay, so this is talking about what happened if you ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. And again, that word as is used. In other words, it's not like you're going to become gods
right.
if you ate that. No, you'll be as God, knowing good and evil. So
right.
as God knows good and evil, you will know good and evil. So this is obviously an exaggeration. They're not going to become gods when the moment they eat that tree of knowledge of good and evil. They're going to be as gods, knowing this. They'll have an aspect of godhood, which knows good and evil. Again, exaggeration. Use again. Verse 22. Go ahead and read that one.
And God said, behold, Adam has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, lest at any time he stretch forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat it, so he shall live forever.
Okay, so here they use the word, instead of as, they use the word like. Okay, so again, in other words, Adam has become like one of us. So you see, that's how you can determine, okay, this is not literally he's become one of us. It's he's become like one of us, knowing good and evil. So in other words, sometimes they'll use the word like to describe, okay, this is an exaggeration here that we're bringing up. So there's these telltale words that come into the vernacular that we can tell when something is an exaggeration and when it's not. Okay, so let's go ahead and let's keep going. We're gonna drive this point home. But Genesis 13, verse 16.
And I will make your seed like the dust of the earth. If anyone is able to number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed be numbered.
Okay, so here again, he uses the word like. Okay, this is, he's exaggerating. God, obviously, God's exaggerating mm-hmm. here. It's not, because you know, we know how much dust there is on the earth, and there's absolutely no way we're going to have that many people that mm-hmm. it's going to be. But he's just saying, as you can't count the dust of the earth, that's what your descendants are going to be. In other words, it's going to be so much, this is like the sand of the seashore scenario. There's so many you couldn't count. It's the same exact idea.
Right.
Sometimes they use the word as, sometimes they use the word like. It just all depends. But you see, those are obvious exaggerations. And, of course, the context determines that.
Right.
Easy to see that those are exaggerations. It's easy to see that, you know, and he's like, as you can't count the dust of the earth, you're not going to be able to count your descendants. I'm just trying to get you to understand this is kind of how this word, and so there are exaggerations in the Bible, but they're so obvious that you could tell this.
Right.
And so the ones that aren't so obvious, like in Revelation chapter 20 with the 1,000 years, well, how do you know that those 1,000 years is a real 1,000 years? Those aren't, it's not obvious that's an exaggeration of some kind. Genesis 29:20.
And Jacob served for Rachel 7 years, and they seemed only a few days, because of the love that he had for her.
Okay, so here, again, that word only is kind of used as a descriptive word. Uh-huh. It wasn't like, oh, he only had to serve a few days, And he got his wait. No, he had to serve 14 years.
Right. Seven and seven.
But the point is to him, it just seemed like only a few days because he was in love with her.
Right.
That's kind of what the, how that's describing, you know. So again, these hyperbole is used all over the place. Let's go to another one. Genesis chapter 32, verse 12. Go ahead and read that one.
But you said, I will do you good and will make your seed as the sand of the sea, which shall not be numbered for multitude.
They use the word, again, the same kind of scenario that you saw in Revelation, that as the sand of the sea. This is a real common exaggeration that is used in the Bible to describe, yeah, it's not going to be exactly that many number, but it's just described as this massive horde of people. Okay, again, that's used again. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. Go ahead.
And there we saw the giants, and we were mere insects in our own sight, and so we were before them.
Okay, so here he's describing when they, you know, these are the spies that went, into the land, who went into the land. And, of course, this is kind of what I think kind of spooked them, you know. When the, you know, the 12 spies went into the promised land, they saw these giants there. And they're like, these guys, these giants are so big, we look like mere insects to them. And, but you see, what he's using here, we were as mere insects. In other words, we were like insects to these guys. That's how small we were compared to how big they were. So this is how he's describing who they were going to go up against. Again, an exaggeration. We're going to go to some other exaggerations that are taught in the Bible. Okay, these are ones that aren't not like hyperbole like the ones we went into. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And we're going to go into this one because this is kind of another thing, but this gives us the idea of the exaggerations of the word 1,000. Okay, so there are times where 1,000 is actually used as an exaggeration.
Okay.
And we're going to go into those right now because there are places in the Bible that use this. Okay, go ahead and read Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 30 and 31.
How shall one pursue 1,000 and two put tens of thousands in flight if God had not sold them and the Lord had not delivered them up? For their gods are not as our God, but our enemies are void of understanding.
Okay, so he's just trying to say that, you know, if you're on my side, one soldier is going to be able to put 1,000 soldiers to fly. So, again, that, you know, it obviously, it could have been exaggerated. It's not exactly 1,000 here. It could be more, could be less. But the whole point is he's saying how you guys are going to be so powerful if you stick with me, essentially.
Right, there's no match for me.
Yeah, he's just giving this example. Two could put 10,000 to flight. In other words, it's like, you guys are going to be, but we obviously see the way that's described. It's obviously an exaggeration saying that, see, they're going to be all petrified of you guys, even if one or two of you guys are going out. And so this is kind of the way God's describing it, that fear of those people will go into them because of me. That's what he's pretty much saying.
Right.
Again, let's read Joshua chapter 23, same exact scenario. Go ahead and read that, verses 9 and 10.
And the Lord shall destroy them before you, even great and strong nations, and no one has stood before us until this day. One of you has chased 1,000, for the Lord our God, he fought for you as he said to us.
Okay, so Joshua's then recounting, remembering this scenario in Deuteronomy that Moses had spoken. Said that, yeah, remember how God says that, you know, you're going to be able to put 1,000 to flight, and that's exactly what was going on.
Right.
And this is at the end, of course, of Joshua's life, when, yeah, you see how God routed all your enemies, and, you know, everybody was scared and petrified of you? Yeah, it just as God said, that's exactly what happened. But, of course, we understand that to be kind of an exaggeration. It's obvious in the context of what he's saying here. So let's go ahead and read another one. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 14 and 15.
He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Let us remember his covenant forever, his word which he commanded to 1,000 generations.
Okay, so people would say, oh, see, 1,000 generations. That's, you know, a generation is what, 40 years? So 40,000 years, you know, that's a lot. In other words, it's obviously used to say, yeah, God is there. Doing his work for all time.
Right.
That's basically what he's saying here. Okay. So everybody kind of understands that, but it's obvious this is what is being described here. But this is why people say, oh, 1,000. used all over the place to describe just, it might not be taken seriously.
Yeah, a generic time frame.
A generic time frame here. Let's go ahead and read more places. This is mentioned here. I'm gonna drive this home because obviously it context of these things determines whether or not is an exaggeration or is it really
a legitimate
time frame that the Bible's talking about here. Let's go ahead and read Psalm chapter 84, verse 10.
For one day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of sinners.
Okay, so again, David's just saying here that one day in your courts is better than thousands. You know, obviously, we all see that as being quite an exaggeration, but the whole point is, yeah, it's better to be
Better to be with God for one day than to be a thousand years or a thousand days.
And with a bunch of heathens.
Right.
Yeah, that's what he's basically saying, and that's exactly the way we see it, everything, too. Psalm 90, verses 4 and 5.
For a thousand years in your sight are like the yesterday which is past, and as a watch and in the night. Years shall be vanity to them. Let the morning pass away as grass.
Okay, so here, you know, he just uses that word, a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, again, is like, you see, again, he's using that word like. So again, easy to tell that's an exaggeration of the 1,000 years because it's just saying it's as or like. Just like we talked about the hyperbole that's used in other places. But it's obvious according to context. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Okay, we're going to read that one. Go ahead.
But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day.
But you notice how they use the word as, okay? It's not exactly one day is a thousand years. It's as. See, in other words, to God, it's as a thousand years. Mm-hmm. But people have used this and perverted the scripture so badly to try to, like, explain. See, you can't really count on anything that the Bible says because everything's just an exaggeration or whatever. And no, I think it's reliable. But see, here again, and a thousand years is as one day. In other words, it isn't exactly one day. Everybody knows a thousand years isn't like one day. But to God being infinite, yeah, a thousand years is kind of like a day to God, you know?
Right.
Because if you've lived, you know, forever, and you will continue to live forever, then a thousand years is like no time at all for you.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, even as you get older, you know, honestly, you know, just in my own, when you're young, it seems like a year takes forever to get to your birthday. I remember, you know, you remember that. But then as you get older, you're all like, where have the years gone?
Exactly.
You just notice as the older you get, it seems like the years go by so quickly. And I think with God being, you know, an eternal being like he is, that a thousand years, he's at the point where like a thousand years is like a day to him.
All right, cakewalk.
Because he's lived so long that it's like, it's not really to him. I mean, just because even to our life, just our short lives, the lives we live, it seems like years just go by so quickly.
Right.
And well, but the longer you live, it seems like they keep going by faster and faster and faster. When they're not, it just seems as they are.
It's almost like when you're younger, it's like slow motion. Everything's so slow and it doesn't happen as fast as you want. Then as you age, you know, 40 years or whatnot, you're like, what happened? Where did my years go? And then, of course, you know, you're raising your family. You remember the days when they were little and, you know, there's a lot of them or they're, you know, they're just a lot to do. And, you know, fast forward 20 years and now they're adults.
God's, his way he views time is much different than the way we view time. But he does consider how we view time. It's not like he's not going to be like, no, that was like when I said 1,000 years, I just kind of meant a day for me. No, he's not going to do that. But see, that's what people kind of want to do.
Yeah.
They want, no, he's not. He understands that we don't see 1,000 years like a day like he does. He's going to, he knows that.
Well, I'm kind of wondering, it could have been longer, but he picked 1,000 years. Is that to trip some people, not say trip them up, but to make them think it's not a legitimate time frame, but because it just seems so long? But 1,000 years really is nothing to God or for Jesus to reign. It's like a drop in the bucket. I mean, in the reality of knowing that it was in our past and not in our future, that it's very plausible that it happened because There have been how many thousands of years of history?
Well, the next verse we're going to go over is one that, you know, you get here of old time. Oh, 1,000 years is not a real 1,000 years because, you know, he owns a cattle on 1,000 years. And we're going to read that scripture here next because this is the one that typically gets used to explain that, see, 1,000 doesn't really mean 1,000. Okay, let's read Psalm chapter 50, verse 10. And this is, we're going to read this out of the King James Version. Go ahead and read that one.
For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills.
Okay, so what they're saying is, see, we know that 1,000's not exactly 1,000. It's, you know, is he not the God of 1,001 hills or whatever? You know, they'll use stuff like that, right? Well, here, I don't like to use this example because this is not, I believe, an inaccurate translation. The Septuagint version, believe it or not, sounds a lot different than this one. Okay, go ahead and read that in Septuagint.
For all the wild beasts of the thicket are mine, the cattle on the mountain and oxen.
1,000 hills is never mentioned there. Mm-hmm. See, I think that honestly that's just been, that was added in later. I think that Septuagint version is the more accurate one. So I don't go by this one, but this is used a lot of people to explain that. See, if he owns the cattle on 1,000 years, that just proves that 1,000 really doesn't mean 1,000. Mm. But see here, I think that even if it was 1,000, I don't. It's obviously people understand that to be an exaggeration. They know that he owns the cattle on all the hills.
God owns everything.
He owns everything. Everybody understands all that. This is where they try to get you. Oh, 1,000. It just doesn't mean an actual 1,000 here. But it's like, okay, well, how long was Satan bound for? Because it says there that he was bound for 1,000 years, and then he got released after the 1,000 years. There's no context that indicates that this was hyperbole of any kind. Okay, we're going to read one more. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. Go ahead and read that one.
And there we saw the giants, and we were in the presence of them as locusts. Yes, even so, we were in the presence of them.
Okay, so this is, again, They saw the giants in the land, and they thought, boy, we looked like locusts to them. You know, they were small, you know. But see, we see that as being an exaggeration because it uses the word as.
Right.
Kind of like hyperbole, you know. We understand all that. I'm going to show you that there are a couple Greek words that are used to describe 1,000, okay? So, believe it or not, it's kind of like in English, we have the word 1,000.
Uh-huh.
And we have the word thousands with an S on the end.
Right.
Well, believe it or not, in the Greek, they have exactly the same thing. Mm. They have this one word that means 1,000. And they have another word that means thousands.
Okay.
Okay, so go ahead and read. What's that word that means just 1,000? Okay, this is the first one.
Kilioi.
Kilioi. Okay, that one is used in Revelation chapter 20. Okay. All the way through, all those places. Okay. Always uses that word. And this one means 1,000.
Just
exactly 1,000.
Okay.
Matter of fact, it's like if you, let me give you some examples because I looked at it all over the Bible. Okay. Because, you know, you can look over the Bible and see how that word is used all over the place.
Right.
And so if they use like a number, like the army was like 1,260 people or whatever, then that word is being used because the 1,000 was a literal 1,000.
Right.
And then, of course, we have 260, okay? So the 1,000 was that 1,000, okay? But there's another word that means thousands, okay? Mm-hmm. And so what word is that one?
Kilias.
Kilias.
Yeah.
And so this one's used to describe thousands, okay? Now, I'm going to show you the same author, which is John.
Mm-hmm.
Uses both these words in his writing.
Wow.
Okay. This is how you know he knows the difference between how these words are used.
Mm-hmm.
Doing my research.
Right.
I figure all this stuff out, right? We're going to see this number is used in this one verse. Actually, both of these words are used separately mm-hmm. in Numbers. We're going to read a place in the book of Numbers that these two words are used. Let's go to Numbers chapter 31, verses 4 and 5. Go ahead and read that one.
Send 1,000 of each tribe from all the tribes of the children of Israel to set themselves in array. And they numbered of the thousands of Israel, 1,000 of each tribe, 12,000. These were armed for war.
Okay, so they were sending 1,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel in this battle. Now, when they use the word thousand, a thousand from each tribe, of course, that word in Revelation 20 is used every time.
Right.
That's where that word is used. 1,000. But then when it says here, and set themselves in array, and they numbered in of the thousands. That word thousands is that other Greek word. The one that's plural. Not used in Revelation 20. So then, of course, he says here, and of Israel, 1,000 of each tribe. Again, that word's used again. 1,000 of each tribe. That word's used again. And then again, it's used again to say 12,000. Again, because it's a plural number, 12 ahead of 1,000.
Right.
It means the plural word for 1,000.
Right, because there's more than one.
Because there's more than one.
Right.
So here, the word's used four times, twice meaning exactly 1,000.
Right.
And twice meaning more than 1,000. Multiple. Because there's more people right. than just 1,000.
Right.
Okay. So this is a really interesting, because this is how you know that it's almost like, just like English, we have the word thousand and we have the word thousands.
Right.
And just, they have exactly the same thing in Greek.
That's interesting.
Yeah. This is what I discovered in my biblical research. And this is why I'm like, I could put all these people to rest and say, no, what you're explaining here, he would have used a different, if he meant, you know, any amount of number, he would have used that other word meaning thousands. Or
right.
Okay. Okay, of course, let's go to Daniel chapter 12. Let's go and read that one here, verses 11 and 12. Okay, and this word is used there as well. Go ahead and read that one.
And from the time of the removal of the perpetual sacrifice, when the abomination of desolation shall be set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days.
Okay, so the same word that they use in Revelation chapter 20 is used here. Because the word thousand is exactly 1,000. Because it also adds in 360 days. Mm. See? So every time the author wants to give the exact word for 1,000, he uses this Greek word right. every time. Okay? But it's not just here. Okay? The author of Revelation does this as well.
All right.
Okay? And this is how you know that he even knows the difference, okay? It's almost like we would know the difference between the word 1,000 and 10,000.
Right.
Because we would know that we would have the word thousands. Thousands and thousand, we know 1,000 or thousands, we would know, oh, thousands means more than 1,000.
Right.
And so, same exactly happened here. Now, in Revelation chapter 7, John uses the other Greek word, not used in Revelation 20. The ones that means a plural. Okay. So let's go ahead and read that one here. Verses 4 through 8 here.
And I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. The tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. And of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed.
Okay, so every one of those places where they were to use that word thousand,
mm-hmm.
because it's more than 1,000, uses the plural word.
Wow.
This is how you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that when he was using this word in Revelation chapter 20, mm-hmm. he was meant the exact 1,000 reign of Christ. Because he would have used, if it would have been some generic number or whatever.
Or a hyperbole.
Yeah. Then he would have used this other word for 1,000.
Uh-huh.
And not the exact word for 1,000 as described in Revelation chapter 20.
Well, I'm going to go out and ask you this question. Why is it so hard for people to believe that this 1,000 years was an actual time period?
Well, because it doesn't fit their narrative. It doesn't work into their own theological beliefs.
Mm.
And so this is why they need to modify their theological beliefs if things don't work out right. This is proof that if you have to twist scripture around,
yeah.
it's proof that that your theology is wrong.
Right.
And this is what I had to do all along, is I'm like, okay, if my theology is wrong, I shouldn't have to twist anything.
Right.
Everything should work. And I shouldn't have to figure something out.
Well, I think that's the whole issue with the Word of God, is it's supposed to be taken, we're supposed to be able to acknowledge it as being the correct interpretation or the correct embodiment of what God spoke. And I don't think if something is too hard for us to swallow, we should just write it off as it's no big deal. It doesn't really mean that. And instead of going, wow, that's exactly what it meant, I've got to understand that this is the time period in which God really meant it to be the time period, and I can't excuse it. I think too often people want to excuse God's word because they don't agree with it. They don't like the way that it's written, so they want to easily brush it off to the side to be in the pretty little, you know, pile of taking all this, the verses or whatever the concepts of the Bible, and pile it all together to make it look, you know, like it's excusable way to live, and this is the only thing that matters. And I think if we do that, then we're just belittling the Word of God. I think that's why that passage of Scripture is at the end of Revelation, to him who adds or takes away. Why would that even be in the Bible if people weren't going to do that? I mean, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees were kind of doing that in Jesus' day. They were adding and erasing or, you know, reconfiguring the Word of God from the Old Testament so that it would fit their narrative. And too often, that is the excuse that people want to put in as why they don't want to be submissive, obedient, and accept God's Word for what it actually says.
And that makes sense. Another reason why I believe it's the real thousand years, and not some fake thousand years, not some hokey thousand years, is because God in the Old Testament, he had a bride, mm-hmm. which is Israel and Judah.
Right.
Actually, two brides. Mm-hmm. You know, when they split, he became the
kind of like conjoined twins.
Right. The point is God had two brides.
Right.
And from the time that they left Egypt, and they were free, to the time they went into Babylonian captivity, he was the bride of God for that 1,000 years.
Wow.
And so then what happens? And you get to the New Testament, you have the bride of Christ, which is the church.
Right.
Which is Israel. Essentially, right. The church is Israel. That's what these 12, all these tribes are mentioned. It's everyone is grafted into Israel.
Right.
All of us are part of Israel now.
Hence, back in the day when we were kids, Father Abraham,
right.
He's Israel, and these are Israel's children, and so we're all under the umbrella of Abraham as our father.
That's why New Jerusalem has 12...
Right.
12 entrances, and they all are part of the 12 tribes of Israel, because everyone is now is a citizen of that city, have been grafted into Israel. As Paul teaches in the book of Romans, we're grafted in to that branch of Israel.
Mm.
And that's the reason why Israel's mentioned all over the place.
So pretty much what you're saying is this 1,000 years was a sacred time period that God had already showed from the Old Testament timelines, that's a time period that was relative to how he worked. So then he has another set of the New Testament, the time period. Again, that's 1,000 years. It's like this cyclical thing we've talked about. It just kind of, you know, makes sense. If that's how God worked, that's how he works again.
Well, God had his bride for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ had his bride for 1,000 years.
Mm.
Same in the New Testament. Of course, you know, we know he continues to have his bride and all that now, because the church or the congregation isn't gone. Christ is just basically is this the flesh side of who God is. He's God in
right.
the flesh.
Right.
Okay. So that's why it's the same bride, Israel in the Old Testament, Israel in the New Testament, same bride. Of course, Christ is the bride of Christ in the New Testament. Why? Because Christ is basically the manifestation in the flesh of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he is. So everything, if you think, but I don't like to get into the whole Trinity thing because it doesn't, not everything always makes sense the way I can describe it. I just understand, no, we're all part of Israel. We're all grafted into Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person that is part of God's kingdom. And this is the way God set it up. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to be grafted in. This is how God set everything up. And so all we have to do is trust in him and just do what he says. 1,000 years. All it was is God had a purpose and plan in place, mm-hmm. setting up his kingdom here for the 1,000 years, kind of getting it off to a good footing before he took a back seat and let everybody else do what they were supposed to do. Now, see, what's been going on is people have been failing. People have been failing after the 1,000-year reign of Christ got over. Christ expects us, oh, we're supposed to all be part of God's kingdom. Well, what are the people doing? No. Now everybody's getting deceived. Why is that happening? Why are people getting deceived when everybody has God's word and we have access to God's word now? No one should be getting deceived. And this is part of why we're doing this show. Where I'm sick of the deception that's going on. And it's so, no one is studying God's word. Everyone's just getting deceived by the devil and their preconceived ideas. And, you know, I'm as guilty as everybody else. Because that's part of what I had to do. I had to get out of that deception.
Right.
And there's so many lies I believed in my life, and like everybody else could probably say the same thing.
Well,
that we had to just finally go, why am I believing these lies? I have to just admit I was wrong, and I got tricked, and I got to stop doing that.
When you're younger, you're just told what everyone else believes. And so you believe what you're told because you want to believe that the people who are telling you, your parents or teachers around you or older than you, know better. But they were believed and deceived lies themselves. So they're no different than a child, okay? So then as you age, and then you start reading, you start understanding, and then you're going, this makes more sense. This is not the truth. This is the truth. And we were all deceived, and now you're having to switch camps and understanding, okay, so we were all lied to, we're all deceived, but now I'm going to have a choice whether or not I live that lie or I believe and live the truth, and I'm set free from the slavery, pretty much, of those lies. And there is the key and the hope that we all have, because then we can be true disciples of God, not being bound by lies, but being set free by the truth. Because Jesus even said, the truth will set you free. And I think that means his word is truth, and his word being understood in our spirits when we're closer to him and we're living faithful and obedient lives to him, it will relieve us and release us from the deception.
We just have to trust in the Lord.
Yes.
Do what he wants us to do. Yes, was 1,000 years 1,000 years? Yeah, I believe it is exactly 1,000 years, just like it says.
You know, that really does blow your mind. What? He reigned for 1,000 years. How come nobody knew? I mean, like you said before, it wasn't like he shouted from the rooftops, I'm reigning for 1,000 years. You know, it wasn't like that. It happened. And maybe some people knew and understood, and maybe some people didn't.
I think most people were just like today, they were just living their life like they always do. And of course, the only difference today is we kind of just sense this idea that we're enslaved. Would maybe be in that day and age, you kind of sense this overall, like, you know, it kind of feels like there's a lot of freedom involved here.
Maybe there's a little more peace.
Yeah,
things.
And so the sense of the way the life was probably is the only difference, really.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, we can sense that, you know, we're captured people. That's what in our day and age, we kind of sense that. So we know that we're not free. We're sort of a form of, I think, a form of Babylonian captivity, what I call Babylonian captivity 2.0.
Yep.
That's what we're living in now. Just like we're living in Satan's little season 2.0.
Right.
We're captured people. We're not living free. And the only way we're going to get free, because you know what? New Jerusalem will be the true freedom city. And that's what we're going for right now.
Exactly.
And that's what we're trying to do. Because we're living in Satan's little season 2.0, not only because it's biblical,
but because it's the only thing that makes sense and gives hope.
Join or contact us at satanslittleseason.org. This is a non-copyright Living in Satan's Little Season production.